So this is our second recording of this podcast.
Who even needs a soft opening?
This is a soft opening.
We recorded this podcast. The first one was a train wreck.
And then we found out some audio issues, so now we have to re-record this podcast back to back.
Yeah. There we go.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Still, yes, yeah. Definitely now.
Still here.
Podcasting issues. That success just got pushed back a week.
Yes.
All right, so today on the podcast, we're going to talk a little about some conspiracy theories.
Kennedy assassination? Moon landing? What are we going for here?
Flat Earth.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, so put on your tinfoil hats.
Which also helps with the reception of the Zoom call. So yeah. Next time you're on a Zoom call, put that tinfoil hat on. It helps.
Maybe that would have worked our first go-round.
That's what it was. We missed our tinfoil hat.
Not enough tinfoil. But before we get to a conspiracy theory, we're going to talk a little about some news. All right, 2020 has been a rough year, everybody. Am I right?
Yeah. Yep. It's just it. Late breaking news from Patrick Nazaroff.
I'm calling it. It's the end of August. 2020 has been rough.
Yeah. It's good to know that at Beyond Sunday, we're really staying on top of it. That's comforting. Yeah.
Right. Much like our podcast, it's been bumpy.
We've had coronavirus. We've had protesting. We've had the death of Kobe Bryant. We've had murder hornets.
Including the death of Kobe Bryant in the list of things that have been 2020. Yeah.
Why not?
I missed it the first time. You
know, yeah. So, all right.
It was rough for Kobe.
Yeah.
Too soon?
Yeah, probably. I apologize to Kobe.
His family.
To the Laker fans out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You were in Houston. There aren't that many Laker fans. It's all right.
Probably not. Yeah. All right. So, anyways, it's been a tough year, but we have something coming around the corner to make 2020 potentially even harder.
Uh-huh.
The day before our election here in the United States, on November 2nd, an asteroid is going to pass by the Earth,
excellent,
potentially making contact with the Earth.
Fantastic. I love this so much. Here's what I think. I'm all in on this. I say we just forget the election altogether. Just assume this thing is going to destroy humanity, and let's just live it up and have some fun. Like for 3 months, let's just all get along, right? Let's just all get along. It's
I'm going
fine.
All we're in just on this asteroid hitting. So I'm formally, I'm going to quit. Yeah. I'm quitting my job. We're going to just rack up a bunch of credit card debt.
Yeah.
I'm not giving 2 weeks. So I'm just not showing up anymore. Like I'm just going to rack up a bunch of credit card debt. You know, like it's going to be all in, and then the asteroid will hit, and we'll be, you know, hey,
I had
a great couple months.
The other option is just to pray that this thing hits Twitter headquarters.
Yes. There's a choice.
Oh, maybe.
Preferably while the building is empty, right? I mean, we want to destroy the equipment, not the people, right?
Right?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, if the asteroid hits and everybody dies, what happens? You die first, you die a few seconds later, what does it matter? You know, like... Yeah. So
you really don't want to live through a direct hit of an asteroid to the Earth. You don't want to be the one who's left with, like... all the after effects of that sort of catastrophe.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I've seen plenty of post-apocalyptic movies and read books that it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be pleasant for many people. Asteroid 2018 VP1, that's its name, which is a terrible name for an asteroid. They should have fun names.
What would be a fun name for the asteroid?
I don't know. I'll come up with one.
Okay, you think about that.
All right, so Elise's computer just crashed, so she's going to come back, hopefully. She's figuring it out.
Hopefully she didn't get hit by this asteroid. That'd be tragic.
Yeah, I just got a text from her. Her computer is completely unresponsive. So
fantastic. Elise, we miss you. Good luck.
Yes. We will say the same things that you said during recording 1.0.
Absolutely. We'll bring up all your points and take credit for them. So
yes. Anything that we say that you're like, oh, that sounded stupid. That was Elise said that first.
Yeah,
we're
right.
We're just giving her credit. So if you're thinking of conspiracy theories, wow, they just got to Elise.
They did. They got her. She should have had a tinfoil hat on.
Look out. Yeah, so asteroid coming by the Earth on November 2nd, but it's going to be okay. Well, first I'll give you the odds here. It's got a 1 in 240 chance of striking the Earth, according to NASA.
That is not enough zeros for my comfort. I would like that number to be much, much larger.
Yeah, 1 in 240 is not that small a number.
Like, I feel like 1 in 240, like there's a 1 in 240 chance that I'm going to, like, I don't know, walk across the street today. Like, that's, you know, that's not nearly high enough of a probability for me.
Agreed. 1 in 240, that's pretty high.
Or low enough, is low probability good or high? Low probability is good. It's not a low enough probability.
I'm not the person to ask that question here. But good news. They think if it does hit the Earth's atmosphere, it will just burn up before making contact with the surface. The asteroid is about 6.5 feet, about the size of a refrigerator.
Yeah, it's about the size of my refrigerator. So yeah, that'll, okay. So we've got a big refrigerator heading for Earth, potentially full of Corona. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
Is your refrigerator currently full of Corona?
No, I don't think so. Not to my knowledge.
Okay. I more meant the beer, not the virus.
That's also not there either.
Okay. No Corona in Patrick's refrigerator.
Asteroid coming to Earth. Man, what a year this is going to be right before the election. Is there a place if you're like, oh, I really hate for the asteroid to hit this place. That would be the worst if it does.
Aside from like my house.
Aside from your house. That's a given.
Yeah, okay. Aside from my house, I'd really hate it if Eiffel Tower. I mean, I guess, you know, people like the Eiffel Tower, right?
Yeah, Statue of Liberty. You know, people like this stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Statue of Liberty has become weirdly divisive lately, but I feel like everybody's still like on board with the Eiffel Tower. Everybody's like, yeah, Eiffel Tower is cool.
If it hits Star Wars land before I get to go in Disney World, that's going to be a real problem with that asteroid.
The bonus for you is that there are two Star Wars lands. And so
that is true. That is true.
It seems unlikely that the 6.5-foot asteroid is going to divide and hit both of them simultaneously.
Sure could.
Though if it did, that would be like, okay, we really were not supposed to have Star Wars land.
But outside chance, I am rooting for the asteroid to hit the Starbucks closest to my house. That's really what I'm hoping happens.
There you go.
Because then I like that. I could tell my wife, hey, it was God's willed it to just
save some money.
Elise is back. to remove this temptation from our lives. It's gone.
All right. Elise just jumping in out of nowhere. I love it. Welcome back.
I'm like a bad conspiracy theory. I keep coming back.
Just can't shake it.
Yeah.
All right, Elise, Patrick, we need to get a better firewall on this thing next time.
Yeah, so that is our asteroid news of 2020, right before the election. So you could be thinking about how you're going to vote for, and it may all be for naught.
There you go.
Some optimism.
One way to make 2020 even better. So let's dig into our main story tonight. We're going to talk about conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody here have a favorite conspiracy theory?
Flat Earth.
Flat Earth is your favorite?
Flat Earth.
Yeah. All right. Yep. That's a fun one. Yeah. I like the moon landing. The moon landing like put so much effort into it. I just enjoy that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Let's see. I will give you a more pop culture-y conspiracy theory. There's one that Avril Lavigne was tired of being famous, so she hired a lookalike to appear in public for her.
Yeah.
And then Avril Lavigne died, and they just replaced her with the lookalike.
So we're calling this the Fidel Castro. All right. Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also. Is Avril Lavigne still a thing? I don't know that that's really it.
This was back when she was at the height of her powers in her in her tie and her like a sleeveless shirt. You know, that's at the height of the Avril powers. This would have happened.
The 90s.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a pop culture conspiracy theory for you.
I like that.
All right. So, but we're not talking about those. We're actually going to talk about a conspiracy theory called QAnon.
All right.
All right, so
one word, not two. I've learned that.
It's just one word. Yeah. It's one word. QAnon. Are you familiar prior to our first recording? Are you familiar with QAnon?
Yes.
I am aware of its existence, but know nothing about it.
Okay, so let me tell you. I'll give you the broad strokes here of QAnon. So QAnon is this conspiracy theory started by this person Q.
Uh-huh.
Who was posting, or I guess Anonymous is what was his name, who's posting on 4chan, which is kind of a web forum that's part of the deep state, or deep web part of the internet, where unregulated, no rules, post whatever you want, has major ties like white nationalism and supremacy.
Excellent.
Pedophilia,
fantastic.
weird stuff.
Yeah.
And a bunch of like, you know, teenagers posting memes and things like that. So Q
definitely the
kind of
place you want to just go hang out for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Q started posting there, and it's basically this idea that the world has been run by a cabal of pedophile, Satan-worshipping cannibals. And they control major governments, the media, Hollywood. They've been running the world. And then in 2016, Donald Trump got elected president, and this was not what they had planned on. That this was a wrench in the system to disrupt this worldwide cabal. And that Donald Trump is this white knight sent by God to bring an end to this world cabal of pedophile, cannibalistic Satan worshippers.
So
it doesn't really matter what order you put those three in. It's bad each time.
I mean, to their credit, they really swung for the fences here. I mean, you know, any one of those seems like a bad thing. But no. Let's throw cannibal in there too. Let's just make sure they're eating people while, you know, all the other stuff, and they're cannibals. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. To be fair, I think the moon landing conspiracy would also be more interesting with cannibalism.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
You throw cannibalism to any conspiracy theory, Avril Lavigne, cannibalism.
I'm there for it.
Avril Lavigne got eaten by a cannibal, didn't she? They had to replace her with a body double.
By a lookalike, yes.
Yeah, her lookalike was a cannibal. There. Straight out of Silence of the Lambs.
To a new level.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm writing down book ideas.
There you go. Excellent.
So the precursor to this, you might remember in 2016 during election season, there was a theory that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats were running a pedophile ring outside of a pizza parlor in Washington.
Yep.
Out of the basement of this pizza parlor. Pizzagate would have been this thing. And this created somebody who was enraged by this to show up at the pizza place armed, ready to free these children that are being held there by, you know, the high society there in Washington. The pizza place has no basement. There are no children there. There's nothing there. But it was just this conspiracy theory that took root.
Mm-hmm.
So a few years ago, this person started posting on 4chan saying they have Q-level clearance at the White House.
Is that a thing? Is Q-level?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
If I'm making up levels of clearance, I would just go higher than Q.
It's right there in the middle, you know.
Right, like that doesn't seem that
not
like,
very impressive. Should be
U.
You might as well be. I got
X level. I don't know. Yeah. X sounds good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sure.
That'd be like, I've got X-Men level clearance. Like I know about, you know, supernatural
like
beings.
Double O status.
Yeah, there it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
double,
this is
double
happening.
O anon. That sounds better. Let's read it. Double O anon.
Send in a suggestion to QAnon.
Yeah, can we help Q kind of change their image a little bit? Can we rebrand Q here?
I'll
send them an
degree.
Email. Yes. Okay, okay.
Like
we're getting off topic here. We're getting off topic here, people. All right, so
okay.
So for Q, so Q started posting on 4chan, you know, anonymously. So it's Q anonymous. So that's where the Q, that's where
Clever.
The anon comes from. Basically that. This theory, this pedophile ring is happening. Donald Trump has been sent to stop it. And he or she, or whoever this is part of this underground movement to end the deep state that's doing these things.
Okay.
So Q will post cryptic texts and clues to readers.
Okay.
That supposedly, if you read Q's stuff and then read Donald Trump's Twitter, that's how they're communicating back and forth. So there's things like, oh, Donald Trump stamped this at 8:17. This tweet went out at this time frame, and here's something that has 17:08, and so it's connected. You know, like you can circle those things. These two things are communicating to one another. So when Donald
like
Trump
listening to Dark Side of the Moon backwards while watching Wizard of Oz or whatever that
was.
Yeah,
it's something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Only not just done by high college students.
Right.
You know, like it's about weirdos on the internet. I get maybe the same thing. Same demographic.
Thin line.
They have an overlap, yeah.
In the Venn diagram, there's definitely...
Yeah, there's weirdos on the internet, high college students, QAnon.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah, so... So when Donald Trump posts like a tweet that just says, Kofefe, that's communicating to the QAnon followers.
Okay.
So
it doesn't make sense to anybody else, but to the true believers, they know what it means.
True believers.
Yeah.
Yes. They're able to figure those things out. They're able to piece those things together.
Right.
And so they're waiting for the time where Donald Trump kind of gives the signal that now's the time we're going after the celebrities, the Democrats, other world governments, the media, to end this child pedophile ring. So this has been pretty much relegated to like corners of the internet that only kind of crazy people or trolls are kind of communicating with one another, right? Like
we mean internet trolls here, right? We're not into the realm of like mythical beings, right?
Yeah. Internet trolls. Internet trolls.
But I'd like to be.
But it has started to bleed into mainstream culture.
All right.
So I've read a lot about this the last couple of days in mainstream press, like Christianity Today, like The Atlantic, like MIT's Technological Review that they're addressing it. And they all have this idea, like it has spiritual elements, that it's not just a conspiracy theory, that a lot of Christians are finding meaning in attachment because it has some spiritual elements. So it has prophetic texts, it has prophets who interpret this for other people, it has a savior, it has very clear a good versus evil. All these things are happening there with QAnon. Alright, and the way it's kind of bleeding into the mainstream, I don't think probably most of us, none of us and most of the people we know are out there on 4chan deciphering, you know, with like a big bulletin board in our basement with like tweets from Donald Trump with like red string going to like weird things that somebody wrote on 4chan. We're not doing that.
But give me a few more months of quarantine and I might.
Yes. but it is coming into very real places. One of the ways, I don't remember, about 6 weeks ago on social media, a Wayfair scandal happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you familiar with this Wayfair scandal?
Yes, yeah. The Wayfair child trafficking scandal of 2020.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Expensive cabinets.
It was a weird 48 hours of Wayfair, this online company that sells furniture, is engaged in worldwide human trafficking. And if you buy these cabinets, they're shipping them with like children inside as a distributor to pedophiles, Satan worshiping cannibals. That's where they're shipping them to. That's why it's like $10,000 for these cabinets. And they're like, oh, this one is named the Michael cabinet. And here is a missing person report for a kid named Michael. Boom. That's the kid that's in that cabinet. This is kind of what they're saying back and forth. This died pretty quickly. I mean, it was kind of rose and died over the span of like a weekend because there's zero proof. All it would take is one person opening up a cabinet they ordered from Wayfair and there'd be a kid inside. They're like, I just wanted a cabinet. And then boom, everything's gone, right? Like, all it would take is that one time that happened, and it never did. It's never happened. Wayfair's like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would we do this? Why would anybody do this?
Because you're part of an international cabal of pedophiliac, cannibalistic Satan worshippers. That's why you're
right.
Yeah.
Way
yeah.
to get into that mindset.
So that's one way we've seen it kind of enter a little bit into the mainstream. The other way is this hashtag, save the children or save our children, that I've seen on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter, so I can't speak for that, but I see on Facebook
it's there.
Fairly recently. Yes, and this is, you know, if you click on it, it's basically kind of has these memes about how the real pandemic is human trafficking. The real pandemic is children being kidnapped. Those are the real pandemics in our world, and we're being distracted by Corona is a big theme of this, and also that the media does not cover human trafficking to the level that it should, even though it does. I mean, like, if you type in human trafficking to any website that any news media source, they've covered it extensively. They have a lot of stuff going on. If you really want to trace it back, the New York Times or the Boston Globe? The Boston Globe brought to light sex trafficking in the Catholic Church years ago. Brought those things to the forefront. So the media is definitely engaged in protecting children, not according to QAnon. But anyway, so that's kind of ways that it's kind of seeping into the mainstream. And at a more alarming rate, Christian posting on social media. But Christians seem to be a greater attachment to this than our secular brothers and sisters have attached to this. That they're the ones kind of taking this and riding with this Save the Children campaign. All right, so let's maybe pause there. Because that's kind of like, I think, gives you a pretty good overview. This is what it is. This is what it's about. We'll kind of come back to it. So why do you think this is? Why do you think Christians are kind of becoming a new target? So a new target ground. Before I ask you that question, let me want to preface. The people posting the Save the Children memes or the Wayfair investigators are not on 4chan. This is kind of their one or two steps removed from that original QAnon. So they might not have any idea who QAnon is. They have no idea that Covfefe is secret language to these freedom fighters for against human trafficking. They may have no idea. They're seeing memes that are produced by people who believe these things and just spreading them. You know, so they're just saying like, oh yeah, human trafficking is bad. Let's use this hashtag or use this meme and put it out there. So they're not first direct consumers. They're kind of indirect consumers of this conspiracy. So why do you think Christians could be easily entangled in the kind of this indirect consumership of this conspiracy theory?
I think my two cents on this is that it is easier in some ways to believe that there is an international cabal, somebody pulling the strings, making bad things happen, particularly when it comes to children and concerns with child sex trafficking and abduction, than it is to believe that, you know, your neighbor or your friend is feeding into that somehow, that, you know, they're a deeply broken or bad person. So I think it's just somehow it's more comforting to think that there is like the powers that be that you can fight against versus just human corruption in general.
Yeah, I think too, for, you know, for Christianity, we have a piece of Christianity that had been taught, you know, hey, you know, Bible means one thing. This is what we understand. And let's just admit it, right? 2020 has only heightened the reality that everything is shifting and changing in our current world. And, you know, if you look through history, you know, even just through the history of the Christian church, there have always been these moments where it seemed like there are these great upheavals. And at any time there are these great upheavals, there are sections of that within Christianity that turn towards kind of apocalyptic doom, whatever, however you want to think about that, right? I mean, this happened during the Reformation. This happened in early Christianity. This, pops up periodically where we're saying, oh, well, this stuff is all changing, which means, oh, look, this is all coming to a head, and the world's about to end. I think this is just another outlet that Christians can latch onto to say, look, this is the one truth that's coming to let us know what's really here, and the Savior is finally upon it. Like, at some level, there's an element of Christianity that makes itself ripe for the picking for this sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we as Christians already believe in something that's kind of like a conspiracy theory. I mean, like, it's kind of like with Jesus's resurrection from the dead. It already kind of defies logic in our central core idea of what is happening in our world. So it is it is understandable. About a year and a half ago, we did a podcast on like Christian cliches, and one of my least favorite cliches is kind of like this idea that God has a plan. And so I think 2020 has kind of rocked a lot of people into saying like, where's this plan, right? Like there's so many things happening that are hard to see the hand of God in. So it's easy to latch on to, oh, a virus hits our world and all of a sudden we're on this global pandemic and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are dying and people are getting infected. Well, it's easier to believe that maybe that's the work of a secret society than the world is just random and chaotic and things like this could just happen at any moment. At any moment, I could get sick and die. That's harder to latch onto. So I do think that those things are part of that. And that's easy for Christians to kind of latch onto this idea of like, well, this is just the plan because I'm already predisposed to look for a plan in tragedy or in weird things happening or things happening in our world. And I think also, and this is my personal opinion, I think that this gives, I think, some Christians out there who maybe have spent the last 3.5 years reading President Trump's Twitter and the way he holds himself in awesome and in office and have not really liked it. And I've said, this is not how a Christian really should engage with others in this world. And I don't think that this is how we should talk to people on the internet. But if he's this savior of children, if he's this kind of, he's bringing, he's going to here to bring an end to this cabal of pedophile, cannibalist, Satanist worshippers, then I have to vote for him. I have to support the president, because those things are just smokescreen to get the real Donald Trump, you know. And so I think it kind of justifies for some support of a president that maybe they would have a harder time supporting, you know, if without, you know, like, and I think that may be part of it. And maybe you are a supporter of Donald Trump, listeners, and you're like, this is not why I support Donald Trump on any level. And that's fine. Like, I don't want to paint every person that way, but I do think this could be part of why that's happening for Christians. So, but what's interesting about this, go ahead.
No, I think what's challenging is how we as Christians want to respond to this. I mean, because I don't know about you all, but engaging this does not seem to be an effective strategy. I mean, I would guess we've each got our own story, but yeah, it just seems like if we try to, you know, jump in and defend this on Facebook or on Twitter or wherever, it doesn't seem like that goes well. It seems like if we don't do anything, that doesn't go well. So I'm just kind of at a point of, well, what do we do? How do we as people of faith actually respond to something like this?
Absolutely. I think that is a great question. So I'll tell you how I responded to it. I'll give you a personal thing here, because I have a friend who has been posting hashtag Save the Children, these QAnon related stuff. Again, I don't think...
Can we give your friend a fake name?
Sure. Yeah. Let's call her Susan.
Sure. Why not?
That's a good name. Good fake name.
It's not actually Susan, is it?
That would be awkward.
This is definitely not.
Fake name, Susan.
Old Suze here. She recently posted a meme that said, like, your child is 66,000 times more likely to be abducted by human traffickers than die from coronavirus. Uh-huh. And your mask makes it easier for them to get away with your kids.
Yep.
Very inflammatory, right? It has a picture of a kid with a mask, this text over it. You know, lots of comments on there of, like, why are these two things kind of butted up against one another? I'm pretty sure as a society, we're all kind of against human trafficking.
Right.
That seems to be every person I've met. I've never met anybody who's like, you know what? Let me give you the pluses of human trafficking over here. Everybody's against it. Like, we're all can be on the same page of, like, it's wrong. So why do we have to do these two things against one another? Because that's part of this political conspiracy theory. Because QAnon is a political conspiracy theory much more than it is a conspiracy theory about children.
Yeah.
Because it is saying the real pandemic is this, to kind of say we shouldn't be worrying about coronavirus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be concerned about that, because there's something bigger to be concerned about. So it's putting these two things against one another. So my friend Susan, to all the comments, was like, well, I didn't mean for this to be political. It's not supposed to be political. It's supposed to just draw attention to human trafficking. So I went on there and I was like, hey, I did the math. Let's do this, right? 66,000 is a big number. That's pretty inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So I Google, how many kids have died from coronavirus? It's hard to find that information. There's not necessarily top-notch information out there. So I would say I found a quote from the assistant director of the CDC who said 90. So I'm like, okay, 90 seems reasonable. And it's also small. That's a relatively small number of kids who've died from coronavirus. We can say, without doubt, since mid-March, more kids have died drowning in their backyard pools than have died from coronavirus.
Sure.
You know, so it's a relatively small number. But you multiply that by 66,000, now we're talking 8 million kids. You know, like,
yeah.
8 million kids have been abducted by human traffickers. That's a huge number. There's 74 million kids in the United States. That's like... You know, what is that? 6-8%, you know, 8% of kids abducted. If that was the case, and I said this, if that was the case, all of us would know multiple families who've been hit by this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That every elementary school classroom would say, like, oh yeah, we started with 24 kids, and then halfway through the year, 3 kids just disappeared. And here we are. Like, that's not happening. Like, that's not a reality that we're living in. And so, you know, I even try to bring into, like, this idea of, like, there's 800,000 missing persons reports for kids a year. And then the vast majority of those, like 90%, are found within hours. And it's almost always either a runaway, miscommunication, or a divorced parent has taken the child without the other parent knowing. Almost always, and that 90%. The vast majority are found, then if you look beyond that, within the day. Again, one of those three things. If you look at a kid that goes missing and we do not know what happened to them, we're talking less than 90 of kids that have died from coronavirus. We're talking maybe 50 kids a year where a kid goes missing and just disappears and nobody knows what happens in the United States. So it's a relatively small number. Now, that's a huge, that's very, very serious for 50 families. That's a very real thing that happened to 50 families. So I don't want to diminish that on any level, but to say that is a hashtag that we need to fear over the coronavirus is purely political.
Yeah.
It is purely that. It is not meant to be this idea of like, that's a such a serious problem we have to address right now. And we can say, without doubt, pedophilia is wrong.
Yep.
Touching a child is wrong. Abducting a child is wrong. But they don't need to be pitted against each other. This is kind of this movement. This is why it's dangerous. It's not about saving children. It's about passing a political agenda under the guise of saving children. Yeah, so that's kind of my personal interaction with how I've experienced QAnon on Facebook. You know, try to bring in reason, try to bring a thing. You know, my friend Susan basically was like, yeah, those numbers seemed off. Didn't mean for it to be political. I just think media should be talking about this more. And so I was like, well, whoever made this did. Whoever made this one meme was not, this is not how they're doing it.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the danger, right? I mean, you presented a rational, statistical-based, fact-based argument. You did the math. You know, Patrick did the math, so Patrick put a lot of effort into this, right?
I don't even like math.
Yeah. So, and yet, no change came for fictional Susan here, right? I mean, no, it doesn't seem like you convinced her otherwise. It doesn't seem like she was like, oh, that's a really great point. These numbers are really inappropriate, and I you should think about this before I share this. It was kind of like, okay, but I still think this is more important. Like it's almost like somehow she used your argument against it to reinforce her belief is what it feels like. And I feel like that's how, you know, these debates and arguments go so often, especially when we're engaging in them via social media or via the internet. I mean, if you tell me you saw a unicorn, I think I'd believe you more than if you told me that you convinced someone of something through a Facebook post. I'm just at a loss for how to engage something that I think we're all on board with. This is dangerous. You know, it is not in line with Christianity, which is not to say that Christianity is of a particular side or not, but just spreading misinformation is not in line with Christianity. And it's seeping into every aspect of our life. I mean, there could easily be people on who are listening to this who have knowingly or unknowingly spread information from this QAnon, right? Who say, oh yeah, I've wanted to save the children. That's a valuable thing. I want to do that. And so we don't even know that we're supporting and perpetuating this thing that has very dangerous roots. But how do we address it? Because it doesn't seem to make a difference when we try.
Yeah, I think, you know, from a practical standpoint, for a response, one thing to do, or the first thing to do, is recognize that politics are tied up in all of these things.
Yeah.
So it is, whatever you engage with on the internet is going to be inherently political, whether you want it to be or not. Second, I think you can fact check everything that you put up. You fact check, you do the work, you make sure that you are not contributing to spreading misinformation. And third, if you can, try and have these conversations in person. Like, you're going to have, people are much more willing to bounce ideas off of each other and change their minds and their mindset, I think, if you're talking to an actual human being instead of with a screen in between you.
And I think also maybe looking at your people in your world who are attached to this conspiracy theory or posting these things, of saying like, hey, saving children and protecting children is a valuable thing. Here are real ways to make a tangible difference in this. Here's a real organization that's fighting this on the front lines. Let's find a way to give them some money or volunteer or be a part of that. You know, like, here's these things. Because by constantly posting these fake things, it actually makes it harder for real organizations to fight child sex trafficking, a very real plague on our world. Multiple places had to come out when that Wayfair thing and saying, like, please stop calling us about Wayfair. This ties up real work that can be being done. Instead, we have to listen to the 100th person calling us to report a cabinet may have a kid in it somewhere. And the hashtag Save the Children or Save Our Children is a real hashtag that was from an organization designed to combat sex abuse in children. And now it's been co-opted by this organization, and now they're having a harder time get their real information out there. But I can say the involvement of QAnon has led to exactly zero children being rescued from sex trafficking. It has led to zero convictions of people for pedophilia or cannibalism. It has led to zero children freed from an awful situation. Not one child has been helped by this conspiracy theory. Yeah. And that just, that for me is proof in and of itself that it's wrong, that it's useless, that it's not helping the cause of kids. And so having those real conversations face to face, I think you have to continue to, when you see these things that are out there and say like, this should not be happening, because guess what? Our secular friends are watching this happen on Facebook, and on Easter when you post hashtag he is risen, and they've been seeing hashtag save the children and hashtag Wayfair all year from you, they're just going to think this person has no basis in reality. That's just not the case.
All right. Well, on that happy-go-lucky note, this is a real pick-me-up of an episode here. But, hey, yeah.
Well, I think I think one of the ways, last way, is to use why it's so appealing is because it's all of us are on board, right? Who could be against saving kids? So any criticism of the movement feels like, what, you're for it? Right. So it's to use that movement against itself. Again, pointing to the real people out there who are trying to do good and powerful things in our world and saying, this is how you can help actually save kids, and not passing memes on the internet. That does nothing.
All right. There we go. Do not pass memes. Do not collect $200.
You can still pass memes, just pass funny memes. Just pass.
How many times a day do you pass memes? What's the average?
I actually pass very few memes. Yeah. All right, well, Pastor David, where can you find us?
If you're still listening, God bless you, because this has been an adventure for all of us here at Beyond Sunday today, but we are glad that you are with us. If you enjoyed what you heard today or any of our other episodes, we would love to hear from you. We actually had a review from one of our listeners that we'll be shouting out in our next episode. So stay tuned next episode for a review that came through. But we hope that you would take a minute to go to iTunes, go to your favorite podcast distributor, and take a moment to rate and review Beyond Sunday. It does help us. It helps spread the Beyond Sunday word. Even if you're listening right now and you're thinking, they're part of the cabal, they're part of the cover-up, that's fine too. You can email us and talk to us. We want to hear from you and know what's going on. So you can send us a message at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.